Well, good morning, New Hope. How are you? Some of y'all are awake. It's Labor Day weekend. Some of y'all are like, I'm tired, Nick. I've been laboring, so I need a break. Well, I am glad that you are here. And for those watching online, we are thankful that you have joined us today. Today is going to be a good day as we wrap up Walk This Way, going through the book of James. And let me go ahead and start off our day together by telling you Pastor Adam is home. He is healing up. Yes. Yes. So good. He made it in home in time yesterday to watch the tail end of the UGA Clemson game. Praise God. And let me just go ahead and say this. For those in the medical field, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all you do to help us be well and healthy. So what's interesting, I'm thankful for the medical field, not only because they took care of my friend Adam, but also because I have been type 1 diabetic for almost the last 25 years. And so I've had nurses and doctors and people in the in-between who have come alongside me to help me be healthier and to take care of me. And it's crazy. I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when I was almost 19 years old. So many, many years ago. And over the course of my time being diabetic, there has been many a different provisions made for me from the medical field. What I mean is, when I first started my journey off, y'all, it looked a little different than it looks now. I remember getting my vial of insulin and the needles. And I remember being in the Waffle House getting ready for that All-Star special and drawing up my medicine. When you pull a needle out in public, y'all, people get a little suspicious, amen? They're like, now what is going on here? Maybe put the waffle down, sir, right? Then as I have continued on my journey with type 1 diabetes, different provisions have been provided. And now I had this pen that communicates with my phone and that will already calculate how much insulin I need to cover my food. And this has been a blessing. And now I'm in a time in my life where I have this little phone that controls my insulin, that communicates with a sensor I wear on my arm that lets me know how I'm doing and where my sugar is and what I need to do to go forward. It's basically like having an artificial pancreas, y'all. I'm doing all right. I am doing all right. And here's the deal about it. Like, as I have walked through different stages of this, and I have walked through the different provisions of having type 1 diabetes and the treatment for it, the Lord has been faithful all along. He has always provided what I needed in order to best be healthy. If I was to say to you, hey, I don't think I'm going to any longer steward the provision that I have been given because it doesn't compare to the provision that other people have. See, other people have better insulin or a better insulin pump or a better sensor to help them know what their reading level is. Like, and if I said to you, I'm no longer going to steward what I have because I don't have what you have, you would look at me and go, Nick, that is foolish. Nick, that doesn't make any sense. Nick, why would you do that? But here's what's true of us. How often have we looked at the king and talked to the king and said, you know what? I'm not going to steward what you have given me because it's not like what you have given others. How many times have we said, yeah, I know what you have given me, but compared to what others have, it is not sufficient and it is not what I want. Here is what's true for all of us. If we have said that Jesus is the king of our life, for us who have surrendered our lives to Jesus, here is what's true for all of us. We are all rich in the kingdom of heaven. But yet, isn't it true there are times when we don't feel like it because we're comparing it to what everyone else has and to what we don't have? But here's what is true. Comparison is a thief and a liar. And we go, yeah, but I don't have what they have. So I decided to get a better perspective and to give us a better perspective as we navigate being the best steward of what God has provided for us. I went to this thing that you probably never have gone to. It's the thing called the Google. And what I did on the Google was I did some research to see what is the average yearly income globally. Not just here in the United States, but globally. And as I did that, y'all, my perspective changed. The average income globally, and they did some crazy math to get here. Well, I'm not smart enough, so you who work in math, praise God for you. The average annual income globally is $18,000. $18,000 a year is the average global income. Why do I tell you that? Why did I research that myself? Because I think we all need to have the right perspective. And if we're honest with each other, oftentimes we don't have the right perspective. We look around and just see what we don't have, and when we're so busy looking around what everybody else has, we fail to appreciate what God has given to us. See, for many of us, when we woke up this morning, a lot of us either stopped by the Dunkin' Donuts or the Starbucks on the way in, but we didn't get a venti, we got a tall. Because we're trying to be the best stewards of our resources. And we didn't get like a full breakfast sandwich, we just got a chocolate croissant. And we devoured that, and then we got to church and someone else said, well, I went to the Waffle House this morning. You went, man, my chocolate croissant just not cutting it. And many of us, when we woke up this morning and we prepared ourselves and got ready and we turned on our water faucet, most of us got to experience something pretty miraculous for most of the world. Water came out of the faucet. Not just water, y'all. Clean water. But see, we often take things like that for granted, and we sometimes think that we are entitled to those things, and we sometimes think, well, Lord, of course you do that for me, and we fail to appreciate the little miracles that God is doing every single day of our lives. And when we keep focusing on everybody else, we forget about what we do have. See, we have been invited to be the best stewards of what God has given us. We are not responsible for how other people steward what God has given them, but hear me. We are responsible for stewarding what God has given to us. The big idea today is this. It is not about how much we have, but how we best steward what the King has entrusted us with. Let me say it again. It is not about how much we have, but how we best steward what the King has entrusted us with. See, for me, as I go back to my medical field illustration as I talk about type 1 diabetes, today I have been invited to steward best how I treat my diabetes so that I can be as healthy as I can be. The same is true. It's not about how much we have compared to others, but it's about if we are willing to steward what we have been given and steward it best. Y'all, we're going to be in James 5 today, and I'm just going to warn you, y'all. James 5, you know, he's like, I'm four chapters in. I'm just going to pull off the band-aid. He goes all in, y'all. And I think James is getting to a point as you read through his letter to this early church where he's going, listen, let me just be plain. I don't want you to have to wonder what I'm saying. Let's be clear. And he gives us a right perspective so we can best steward what God has given us. And as we finish out this series about Walk This Way, I pray that today the Holy Spirit will lead you to what the next best step is for you and how to best steward what God has given to you. So let's pray. Father God, you are so good. Lord, thank you for what you have given us. Lord, may we be a grateful people, and may we be a people that steward well what you have given us. Lord, may we not be a people who compare what we have to what they do have and what we don't have. May we not be that kind of a people. But may we be the people that say, God, thank you. Thank you and thank you. And Lord, because of what you are doing and for what you have given, I will steward well what you have given and entrusted to me. And Lord, if we do that, the aroma of your kingdom will come off of our lives. And we can say to those around us, look at what God is up to. So, Father, over the next few moments, I pray that our hearts and our hands and our minds be open and our feet will be willing to step full into what you have for us. So Jesus, we love you. As we just sang over and over again, Jesus, we love you. And may we respond with our stewardship because of the way we love you. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to James chapter 5. We're going to begin in verse number 1. Just a little reminder and background about James. James is Jesus's half-brother. Remember, James grew up and his mom and dad probably said all the time, James, won't you be more like your brother Jesus? And over the course of James' life, he got to see his brother in the good times and the bad times. He saw his brother crucified, but then he saw his brother resurrected from the grave. And once his brother was resurrected from the grave, James goes, well, I guess he is the savior of the world. And then God began to use him to lead this early church, to remind people of what is true, and to call them to not just believe right, but to walk right as well. And this chapter feels very pointed and very direct. And I love that about James, but as much as I love it, I also don't like it. Because often I cannot sidestep his gaze and his finger. But today I pray that we can be a people that embrace what James has to say to us and walk in a different way. So James chapter 5, verse 1, here we go. Now listen, you rich people, pause. See, so often, and let me throw myself under the bus, so often, whenever I would hear this preach in the past, I'd be like, nah, you rich people need to listen. James is not talking to me. This is when we want to elbow somebody else and go, you better listen. I've seen your checking account. You better listen. But here's what is true, and this is a hard truth. He's talking to us. If you're looking around to see who James is talking to, all you have to do is get in front of a mirror to see who he is talking to. He's talking to us. There is weight and responsibility that comes with the positions and the places and the possessions that God has given us. Now listen, you rich people. Weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Woo. Your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. There are some times when you read a text of scripture and you go, I wonder what the author is trying to say. What I love about James is like, I'm going to tell you what I'm trying to say. You're not going to need much of an interpretation. And here's number one, when it comes to the tenets of stewardship, of proper stewardship. Number one is this, to whom much is given, much is required. Let me say it again for those who didn't want to hear that. Let me repeat. To much is given, much is required. Let's listen to the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 12, verse 47. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. See, Jesus says this after he tells the parable of the rich young ruler. He says, listen, you have been given much to steward well what you have been given. This is an open-handed posture, not a closed-handed posture. For those of us that need it to be broken down a little bit further, let me help. It means this, you have been fed so you can help feed. You have been clothed so you can help clothe. You have been sustained so you can help sustain. This is what God is reminding us of. Listen, your blessing is not just for you. You have been blessed to be a blessing. And y'all, like, I don't like the truth of that. But it doesn't make it any less true. And everything about, have you ever thought about it this way? Like, if we store up a bunch of stuff and store up a bunch of stuff and have a closed-handed posture, do you recognize that someone else will eventually get your stuff anyways? Like, it's funny that we will spend our whole lives gathering. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. And then the same fate that we all will face is one day this life is going to be over. And somebody else will own your stuff. And so maybe, just maybe, we can step in obedience and be the best steward and the proper steward of what God has given us and recognize too much is given, much is required. And let me be really transparent with y'all. I do not like that statement. My mom would say that to me often. I remember being a kid in school and I would come home and be like, "Mom, this is not fair." And then she would always respond cool, calm, and collected. "Now, Nick," actually my mom would go, "Now, baby, too much is given, much is required." She would say to me, "Nick, it doesn't matter what other people are doing. It has to do with what you are doing. God has given you gifts and talents. Are you using them well? Too much is given, much is required." Y'all, I heard that the entirety of my life. Some years ago, the Lord blessed me with a mentor. The first meeting, I went to his office. I'm sitting around his boardroom table and we're talking, and he says this, "Nick, may I tell you something?" Which, if you've ever experienced someone saying that to you, they're not really asking permission. That is code for, "I'm about to tell you some truth you don't want to hear." And he said this statement to me, "Hey, Nick, too much is given, much is required." And I thought to myself, "Holy Spirit, that's rude." But he was right. For us, too much is given, much is required. Verse 4, chapter 5 of James. "Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you." James is going, you did not steward best what you were given. Tenet number 2 of proper stewardship: a need seen is an assignment given. A need seen is an assignment given. Luke 12, verse 13 says this, Jesus talking to this crowd. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." Let me say that again, because Jesus said it. I'm just going to repeat it. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And he told them this parable: the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" Verse 20. "But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God." Guys, it is not just about receiving, but it's about giving. It's not just about storing up, but stewardship. It's not just about being blessed, but being a blessing. A need seen is an assignment given. Y'all, I do not like this one either. This, all 5, I do not like, just to be real with you. So some years ago, when I would see people in need on the streets as I'm passing or I'm walking, I would be someone who would ignore them or go, "They're probably in this position because of something they did." And I would let myself off the hook from leaning into their need because I go, "Well, what if they do something with it that I don't approve of?" And then as I was reading God's word and the conviction of the Holy Spirit, he reminded me of something that is true. Hey, Nick, it's not for you to know what they are going to do with it, but it is up to you to give when you have. Y'all, I don't like that. Because no longer did I have ammunition or an excuse not to lean in when someone's in need. And so as the Holy Spirit continues to work on my heart to this day, in that time he was like, so Nick, if you have, I want you to give if someone's in need. So I remember there was a time where I did a wedding and someone gave me a crisp, fresh $100 bill, y'all. You couldn't tell me nothing. You know, you walk different when you got a $100 bill in your pocket. You're like, yes, I am blessed and highly favored. You're not. And so I had this $100, and here's what's funny. When you get a $100 bill, you don't want to break it. Because you know, once you break it, everybody else gonna need something. Sorry, kids, that ain't got no money. I only got 100, no McDonald's, sorry. And so I was driving around town. I had this $100 bill, and me and the Holy Spirit had this conversation. Nick, if you have it, give it. And so y'all, I pulled up to a stoplight. And there to my left was someone in need. And I don't know if you've ever been here, but let's be honest. This is church. We need to be honest people where you go, if I don't look at them, then it doesn't count because they're not really, I didn't see them. See nothing, Lord. I don't see anything. And then the Holy Spirit just, hey, Nick. No. Hey, Nick. Nick, remember? Nick, do you see someone in need? Mm-hmm. What are you gonna do? It's $100, Lord. When we had this conversation previously, I was thinking 20 and under. But this is a $100 bill. Who knows when I'll get another one, Lord? Who knows? All right, Nick, I'm just gonna sit here. You do what you wanna do. And the person meanwhile is looking at me, so I roll my window down and I go, come here. I have something for you. Here you go. Wow, sir, are you sure? Mm-mm, but you better run. Guys, it's much easier to talk about being generous. It's much easier to see the needs of the world and excuse why we shouldn't have to step into those things. But the king has called us to be his ambassadors, you know, the representatives of the king in this world today. And we get opportunities all the time. But often for me, I'd rather close my eyes and keep being disobedient and having a closed-handed posture. But the Lord is inviting me and inviting you when we see a need to know it's an assignment given. Because it's not just about storing up, it's about proper stewardship. And y'all, I don't like that truth. But I think about this, if not us, then who? Generosity yields more than greed. Guys, it is better to live with open hands than closed hands always. In his second letter to the church in Corinth, Paul says this in verse number 6 of chapter 9. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work as it is written. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have provided yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. When we walk in obedience and properly steward what God has given us, the aroma of heaven comes off of our lives. And people go, what is that? And we go, it's our King. This is how he operates, and this is what his people do. The King gets all the glory. And hear me, church. God doesn't need your resources. He's not begging you, please give to me what I've already given to you. No. But he does want your heart. And I have found when the King has your heart, he also has your resources. The greatest remedy to greed is generosity. God wants something for us, not from us. We get to walk in obedience. We don't have to. We get to be generous. It is a better way to live. I've heard Pastor Adam several times talk about the tithe challenge, where we're giving back what God has provided to us. 10% of what you make, you give back, not because God needs our money, but because he knows that if we hold on too tightly to something, it will hold on to us. Our means and our resources have been meant to be a tool, not a noose. But if we don't live open-handedly, the very thing that we're holding on to will hold us. And so with the tithe challenge, it's just us practicing and walking out that money does not have a hold on me. I'm going to operate with open hands. So often what is true of me, and I'm sure maybe true for some of you, is I'm really good at telling God why I can't be obedient. Anybody else there? Where I'm telling the author of a story, the facts of his story, like, hey, God, I can't. You know what happened, right? And I get it. For some of us, we go, Nick, 10%, that's out of reach right now. And then I would challenge you with this. What does 1% look like then? What if you said, all right, Lord, I do trust you. I am going to take a step of faith and trust, and I'm going to give 1%. What I believe will happen when you start giving and taking that step, I think eventually, you know what you'll do? You'll go, 1%, 2%. And eventually you'll find yourself walking in obedience and you find yourself living an open-handed, generous life, which is an accurate reflection of the way your King navigates. James 5:7. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Verse 10. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. The number four tenet of proper stewardship is this. We have to remember this. The King is faithful and trustworthy. The King is faithful and trustworthy. He is not lacking, and he keeps his promises. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, it says this. Some of y'all are familiar with this verse. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Test me in this. Those are strong words from the king, but listen, take him at his word. Test me in this. Here's a simple question for you. Do you trust the king? And then I have a follow-up question. I'm a pastor. You know there's another question. Does the evidence of your life, your time, and your resources speak to that truth? Like if you say, yeah, I trust him with everything, but yet there is no evidence through the way your checkbook reads or how your time reads, then here's what is true. And don't get mad at me. I'm just using some deductive reasoning skills. Then the evidence says that you don't trust. You know, this is hard. Because for me, I'm much better at telling the Lord how much I trust him. I'm not nearly as good at living that out. But what if we as a people of God say, you know what, I'm going to trust you, and the evidence of my life will speak to that trust. The world will see the evidence of my life and go, man, there is a king who's on his throne. Look at these generous, faithful, trusting people who are walking in faith and trusting that God will do the very thing he says he's going to do. So what does a step of faith look like for you today? What does a step of faith look like with your resources? What does a step of faith look like with your heart today? What does it look like? And hear me. The king has invited us to be a free people. It's impossible for us to live as free people if we're shackled to our stuff. The Lord has invited you to freedom. What does it look like to accept his invitation? James 5, we'll finish up with this. Verse 13. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Number 5, the most important one is this. Our greatest resource isn't what we have, but who has us. Our greatest resource is not what we have, but who has us. I want you to hear the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 12, verse 22. He says this, then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn yet. God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Hear me, church. You are much more valuable than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. Verse 31, but seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. Verse 34. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Who or what has your heart today? Who or what have you given your heart and placed your hope in? How are you doing with proper stewardship? How are you stewarding well what the Lord has provided for you? And in this moment, you can be honest with the Holy Spirit, and I promise you the Holy Spirit will be honest with you. How are you doing? And I think my last question before we pray is this. How are you stewarding the most important thing that you've ever been given? And that's an invitation from the King himself. The King has invited you to take your seat at his table, to put a robe of righteousness on that you did not earn, to put the signet ring of the family on, saying and signifying that you belong to his family forever. The King has invited you where you couldn't provide the meal, you couldn't provide your own seat, but he has given it to you and has invited you to take your seat. Have you stewarded that best and said yes to the King? Saying yes to his perfect life lived, the life you could not live, saying yes to his payment of your debt on a cross because he is the unblemished lamb. Saying yes to his resurrection from the grave. Getting up, holding the key to victory, and he offers that key to you. Have you said yes? It's going to be impossible for you to be the best steward of your life if you haven't stewarded the invitation from the King well. What does it look like for you to say yes to the King today? What does it look like for you today to say yes to your next step of obedience? My encouragement to you is to be the best steward of what the King has given to you. If you would, bow your heads. Jesus, may we be an open-handed people. May we not be ones that are holding on so tightly to stuff that we're unwilling to be surrendered to the King. Jesus, I pray that today we will take a step. Maybe for some of us, it's saying yes to your invitation to take our seat at your table and become a son or a daughter of the King. Maybe for some of us, it's going, all right, Lord, I'm gonna be 1% more generous with my resources and my stuff. Maybe for some of us, it's something altogether different, but my prayer is may we be the proper stewards that you have invited us and called us to be. Jesus, we love you. Thank you that you have changed us and saved us. Thank you that you freely give of your grace and mercy. May we be a people that are as open-handed as our King, who stretched out his arms and surrendered his life to win back what was lost. May we be a people that are willing to open our hands and allow you to use what we're holding in any way you see fit. So Jesus, we love you, we thank you, and we pray all these things in your name. Amen.